Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awaken Your Soul's Journey, the podcast that explores the transformative power of grief. I'm your host, Angela Clement, and I'm here to guide you on a profound journey of healing and self-discovery. Each episode, you will be introduced to experts, authors, and individuals who have experienced grief firsthand to share their stories, insights, and wisdom. Together, we will explore many facets of grief and shed light where there is darkness. Throughout this podcast, we will explore different tools and techniques that can support you in your healing process, from mindfulness and meditation to creative expression and spiritual practices. We will provide you with a diverse range of resources to help you navigate your grief. Whether you have experienced a tremendous loss or simply want to gain a deeper understanding so you can support someone else, this podcast is for you. So if you're ready to embark on this awakening journey with us, make sure to subscribe. Together, let's explore, learn, find healing, and embrace the transformation that awaits us. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the podcast. I have a very special guest with me here today. Her name is Denise Dielwalt, and she has experienced this profound loss after the sudden passing of her husband. After trying many methods that were not working, Denise sought a path to healing that led to the creation of the Flow Grief Release Method, a transformative approach to moving through grief with grace and ease. Denise's journey from the depths of despair to rediscovering joy inspired her to help others. With over 15 years of experience, she has guided thousands to reclaim their lives from grief, using her unique flow method that dramatically shortens the healing process from years to months. Denise's groundbreaking approach challenges the traditional stages of grief and waiting for time, offering a lifeline to those who feel stuck and hopeless. Her flow method isn't just about coping, it's about transforming your life and rediscovering joy in a way that's both profound and lasting. I am so excited to hear all about this flow process. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to share the flow method in the grief world and start moving the needle towards a different approach.
Yeah, I love it. So just tell me a little bit about how you got started into the work that you do now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I know. Loaded question. There's a lot behind that.
Well, in 2009, my husband passed away really, really suddenly. I was only 51. He was 55. He went to work and collapsed at work. He had a blood clot, which I didn't know he had a blood clot. Nobody did. He was rushed to hospital. He had what they called a spontaneous bleed in the spine. Mm. We were fully expecting him to come home, but he didn't. While in hospital, he had a blood clot and he died suddenly. He got a call one night to say, you know, from the hospital saying that he didn't make it. I then had to tell my kids, because they'd already really moved out, that their father had just died. So that in itself was traumatic. Mm. And when I got out of the La La Land and sort of, you know, we go into that, the body shuts down and we go into that, oh, disbelief, is this really happening in my life? Where do I go from here? He's not around. You expect him to walk through the door. And I hear that from my clients all the time. I expect him to walk through the door. But he doesn't, or they don't. I expect them to come home from school or whatever, or whoever they've lost. And I then tried so many ways to heal me. I tried therapy. I tried. I had a psychologist. I joined groups. I joined. I read books, but nothing was actually healing me. And it was a visit to my psychologist after many, many, many visits. And I said to her, how long and how much am I going to be like this? Where do I go from here? And the shock horror look on her face was like, Denise, you've just lost your husband. Now, just was like 6, 7 months. And she said, you're going to be like this for 5 to 7 years. And that was my wake up call. Because I knew that Martin didn't want me to be feeling the way I was for the next ever and ever and ever. And I was being told things like wait for time, time heals all, go through the 5 stages of grief, because that's the gold standard that everybody's taught. But what I very quickly realized is that I had to heal me. It was my inner journey. How do I heal me? And that's how my journey began.
Wow. And we have very similar stories, because mine, I talk to people about that when people said to me, you know, you will carry this with you and you'll just get used to it. You'll get used to carrying the grief. And wow, that just didn't sit very well with me at all. So I'm anxious to hear more about what you did to help yourself then.
Yeah. So the first thing I did, was have a glass of wine.
Good
you do. That turned into many, 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 many glasses of wine that night. But that broke me. It absolutely broke me, because with every glass of wine, I cried. And I needed to do that to process. We need to feel. We need to release. Now, I'm not saying go and drink yourself like I did, but we need to feel. And I woke up in the morning and I went, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? This is now up to me. And I call it divine intervention. I call it a message. I call it a download, whatever. I opened up my laptop and I went, I know, I'll become a life coach. And that wasn't to heal anybody else but me, because I knew that if I became a life coach, I'd get the tools to do the inner work, the deep inner work on myself.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So without thinking, I enrolled and then now I specialize in grief with my unique flow method.
So how did you come up with this flow method then?
Yeah. So after I did the work on myself and I started healing and I started growing and I started rediscovering who I was, because, you know, at 51, I didn't know who I was. I got married young, had my kids young, life was cruisy. I mean, we had our ups and downs, but it was like, yeah, this is life. And then bang, the universe gives you this message of like, okay, there's a huge change. And after I healed so quickly and I started moving forward, I found me, I found what I liked, I found what I didn't like. I then kept getting this message and people were saying to me, you need to work with widows, you need to work with people in grief, you've healed yourself, you need to do it. No, don't want to do that, don't want to do that. And one day I actually just sat down, I said, okay, universe, you want me to work with people, show me the way. And the first thing I did was I revisited and went deep within, how did I actually heal, what were the steps, were there any steps, was there any formula to what I did, or was it just random? And that's when I reverse engineered everything and realized that the very first step I had to do was feel. I had to give myself that permission to feel. Drop that mask, drop that facade that I'm okay. So then, okay, I had to feel. Now I'm writing this down. And then I said, well, okay, so after I felt, what did I need to do? What did I do? I started letting go. But I started letting go of the pain, not the memories. And it was only then that I could overcome and become whole. And that's the flow method. It's feel, let go, overcome, and become whole.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm glad that you clarified the letting go piece, because I think a lot of people get scared when you say let go. Because they feel like if they're letting go, then they're letting go of their loved one. And there is you need to distinguish between letting go of the pain and letting go of all those memories and your loved one. Yeah.
Because what I've found with myself and with my clients over the many years and the many clients is that once we start letting go of the pain, of the heartache, we can then embrace the love and the life that we shared together. But while we're hanging on so tightly to that memory, to that love, to that everything else, it blocks out everything that we shared in life. Because we're focusing on that one moment in time when they left us. Whereas when we just let go, we release all those emotions, all that pain. So it's not letting go of the love. You never let go of that love, ever, ever, ever.
So what would you tell people, you know, who, okay, well, you know, I let go, but how do I let go? How do I do that?
Yeah, yeah. The very first thing is to feel. You can't let go of anything that you're not feeling or that you're not aware of. And what I would say is when you feel, don't just feel the sadness. Don't just feel the loss. You've got to feel beneath that. It's layers beneath that, because the loss and the sadness and the overwhelm are symptoms of what the real emotion is. They're just the symptoms. Oh, I'm feeling sad today. Okay, let's explore that. That's the work I do with my clients. It's deep inner work of, okay, so you're feeling sad. Let's go beneath the surface. Where did that begin? So it's really feeling that emotion, because now you're aware. Once you feel it, you go, oh, that's what it is. This is where it is. This is where it comes from. Now you can let go and journal, write it down, you know, just jot down. Then you can start your journey to reimagining your life. Because after the death and the loss of a loved one, we have to reimagine our life without them. It's not a simple case of, oh, well, just, you know, and I'm sure you've had it as well over the years as love. Oh, you know, are you over Martin yet? Mm-hmm. You don't ever get over it. You never get over it. Or you don't learn to live with it. I absolutely, you just learn to live with it. You never learn to live with it. You embrace it. You love it. It's part of your life. It's part of what created you and created your future, made you who you are today. But the most important thing is, who do you want to be in the future? You know what brought you here today, but draw a line in the sand and where do you want to be? Who do you want to be in your future? Because there's a whole new person there ready and waiting to be birthed.
Yeah, because really, and I know we can talk about this a little bit more, but you lose your identity when you lose your person. It's because of the relationship that you had with them that's gone, and you had identified yourself as that, right? And so myself, I was always Blaine's wife. And if I'm not Blaine's wife, then who am I? And that was a big, that was a big question.
It is. It's a massive question. And I say, unfortunately, not enough people and widows, especially widows, that deep enough into that question. I see it with my clients. It's like, you know, I don't know who I am. And then the mask goes up, but I'm okay. It's sort of in that same sentence of, yeah, I don't know who I am because I was his wife, but yeah, I'll be okay. I'll just wait for time. Great. And it doesn't work. As you know, as you would know too, that waiting for time and the five stages of grief are the biggest myth that we are led to believe. It really is. We cannot do that. We've got to do the inner work. We've got to find ourselves.
Yes, that whole message of time heals all wounds is not true.
It's not true. It's just not true. It doesn't. Because what it does is that people wait for that time, that magical time. Now, time is just numbers on a clock. That's all it is. And they're waiting for this time to tick over, but they're not taking action in that time. They're not doing anything in that time. So they wake up in the morning, they're feeling depressed, they're feeling down, they're missing their loved one. And then it's like, oh, well, just another day. How many days has it been? It's been 5 days, or 5 years, 6 hours, 24 seconds. I've seen people count the time that since the time they lost their loved one, which is not helpful.
Right.
What that does is keep you anchored into your past. And we have to release that. And that's where the letting go comes from. And that's where the biggest two steps is the feel and the let go. Without the feeling, we can't heal because we're not aware of it. So what are we letting go of? Nothing.
Right.
Because we've got our mask on.
Yeah, because what are we letting go of? And I think that was one of the things that I realized is when I started to journal, you know, why I was feeling the way I was, these things would come up. It was like, well, now I'm grieving the fact that I don't have a job anymore. I retired. Or now I'm grieving the fact that I don't live on a ranch anymore. You know, all of those things had to come up and I had to let those go. And so, and they were all components of that grief. You know, it wasn't just about my husband. It was about a lot of different things that I had to let go.
Yeah, we have to let go of a future that we imagined and the future that we saw, because living with our husbands, we have that dream. And I mean, any relationship, I don't care who you are, it's not roses, lollipops and unicorns, but you've got your person. You've got your person there with you. They got your back. You got their back. And suddenly when they're gone, you know, I was living on 8 acres. We were living on 8 acres out in the country, which was Martin's dream. There was a motocross track out the back for the boys because I've, you know, 8 grandsons, and it was our lives were just coming together, and suddenly boom, it's gone. So the grief is in layers, you know. Initially it's the grief and the la la land, as you can, I'm sure you know, when you're walking outside your body, the world is turning but you're not. It's like, why is everybody laughing? Don't they realize that I've lost my special person, I've lost my husband? Don't they realize? But when we come out of that fog, it's then when the other grief hits us. It's the other grief of the loss of the little things, the loss of having a cup of coffee brought to me in the morning. You know, we don't think of it. It's like, oh, thanks, you know, thanks, love, thanks for the coffee. Suddenly I'm going to get up now and go make my own coffee. And you can have a meltdown. I remember having an absolute meltdown over the kettle, over the coffee, because I'm now doing this. Why am I doing this? You know, meltdown's there. It's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, exactly. I remember having a meltdown because I had to winterize the camper. That was his job.
Yeah.
So I was just so angry that day when I had to go do that. I was just so furious with the whole thing.
Yeah. Yelling and screaming. I'm sure you've done it as well. Yelling and screaming, because you know you can't, you need to, you haven't got the strength. The things that they used to do, is it's, and that in itself is a grief, because you're letting go. You've got to let go of those emotions. And you've really got to let yourself feel and go down that rabbit hole and scream and kick and carry on like a mad woman, because you're angry that they're not there to winterize the caravan. And, you know, it's like, come on, why aren't you here? This is not my job.
And being angry that they left is part of that process, you know, and being,
And, you know, 15 years later, I still get angry. I still feel that. I wouldn't call it so much anger as frustration. Of that frustration of, you left me and now I'm carrying all of this. You know, when we, just little things like, I've changed my whole life now. I've sold everything. I've started over. I've moved. The last 3-4 years have just been absolutely chaos in my life. And I sat here the other day and I actually felt that frustration coming up. And I went, if you didn't go, if you didn't die, we would still be living on the 8 acres. We would still have our life. And then it was like, Denise, just settle. Life is happening for you, not to you. Because the gift in him dying and passing away is that I now work with others to help them navigate a different path through grief. If he didn't die, nothing would have changed.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once you see that, and it's kind of hard to see, especially in the beginning, you can't really have that kind of foresight. But looking back, you know, I realize that everything that I do now is because of what happened. I would not.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no, there's no other explanation. You would still be, living your life together and not even thinking that there was, it's like the movie Sliding Doors. I don't know if you remember the movie Sliding Doors, where she gets on a train. She gets on one train and she goes home and she finds her husband in bed with another woman. So her whole life changes. She gets on another train, the sliding doors open, another door opens, so she goes in that one and her life is wonderful. And it's the sliding door moment of where can, what am I doing now? Where am I with my life? And I find it so heartbreaking when I, and obviously working with so many people over the years, is that when I speak to people that are so stuck in their grief, but they want to stay there. And I can't, it breaks my heart because it's, they don't see the future. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, they're hanging on to those memories. Just let them go. Just release your grip a little bit so that you get a crack. That's all it takes is just release it.
And I see the same thing too. I mean, there's many that have been able to find a way forward, and there's many that just can't. And I mean, it's okay, but like you say, it breaks my heart because I know how that feels, and I know I was there, and I don't want anybody else to be there.
I don't either. That's why I do what we do. That's why we do what we do. Is, come on, there's another way. Come and, invest, do what you need to do for yourself. Be, love yourself enough to heal. Love yourself enough to heal. And as women, we don't love ourselves. We're for everybody else. Even the cat or the dog comes before us.
Oh, you are
And
so right about that. Yeah, and that is one of the biggest lessons I think that I've learned through this is that I've learned to love myself no matter what. I realize now when I make a mistake that I don't do it on purpose, that I don't need to beat myself up for, infinity time for it. I'm doing the best I can, and giving myself that grace has made a huge difference. If I had known that in my past, I think about how different my life would have been.
Me too. Me too. Even my marriage would have been totally different too. Everything, my kids would have been different, But we didn't, and we did the best we could. And it took the death of our partners, of our loved one, of our lifeline, of our rocks to actually waken us up to what life is really all about. And it is about self-love. It's about loving and embracing who we are. Being able to look at yourself in the mirror and not go, oh my God, look at this. I've got a pimple here and I've got a fat roll here. But to actually see your soul, to see who you are.
How beautiful. What a beautiful message for people. So tell me more about how you were helping people.
So I've got, it's a three-phase program, really. The first phase is I help people heal and move forward. It's an 8-week program that we work very, I work one-on-one. So it's a program and I work one-on-one where they learn the flow method, they learn how to go within, how to learn to love themselves, everything we've spoken about today. Because what I found was that if we don't have somebody to help us, we get stuck. Because it's inner work. We go, oh yeah, I know that. And what I say to all my clients is come with an empty cup. You might think you know it, but if you haven't done it, you really don't know it. And that's the truth of our lives. I've heard that before. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I was one of them, so I know. I was heavily into Tony Robbins and all of that before Martin passed away. So I've got this, I can do this on my own. And we can't. We really do need help. We need somebody to coach us through our beliefs, our programs, everything. So once you've done that and you go, well, you know what, I would really like to help others now. I have the Academy of Transformational Grief Coaching, which is an online program as well, where I teach you to become a grief coach. Not just talk to people about grief. I know there's a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of courses you could do for 5 days, 2 days, 1 day. This is an intensive 12-week program with ongoing support where you learn through NLP how to talk to people to become a coach, but to become a coach, not a life coach, but a grief coach. Because a grief coach is very different to a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. You can't, you know, I've seen a lot of my friends over the years that I've done various courses and programs with that are life coaches try and get into the grief, but they've never lost anybody. So with the academy, you have to have had a loss. So you first go through the inner healing and your journey, regardless of how long you've been on your journey. And then if you say, well, Ira, now I want to help others, you don't have to, but if you want to say, I want to help others, you know the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You can intimately work with people and you can help them move forward by coaching them through. And then if you want to then take that further and you want to monetize it, I have the business side of coaching where we go through how to monetize it, how to be online, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a journey. It's a journey.
Wow. Yeah, you've built a lot of support. And I know for me, you know, not knowing that there was such a thing as a grief coach,
yes,
just finding one by happenstance and then really being afraid to even engage with her. I did not want to talk to her. It was only out of sheer desperation I went and took that 30-minute, you know, call that you take the free call to see whether it's going to be a fit. And I remember being so afraid, just so afraid of having to talk about my feelings and the emotion and being afraid to cry and all of that. But, you know, working with someone like you, it is a life changer. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to go through it by myself.
No. I just, with you talking that way, I got this beautiful client and her husband, after he died, so in a nutshell, after he died, she discovered that he had another whole family in another country, children, everything.
Oh, wow.
He actually committed suicide in that country. So he was away at the time. Long story short, she got on the call with me and she said to me, you can't help me. I've been to this one, done this, done that, whatever. Nobody can help me. My story is too complex. Well, within the first week, in the end, she just said, you know what? You're my last hope. I'm just, I don't know what else to do. Within the first week, I had her do something she couldn't do for 5 years. She had a storage shed that was packed up with stuff and his stuff and their business stuff. And she could not go there. She just couldn't go there. And within the first week of us working together, she rallied her friends, went to the storage shed and just started emptying it out.
Yeah.
And fast forward to today, I mean, she had legal battles along the way because the life policy was left to this new family and the kids. Oh, it was just horrific. But today, fast forward to today, she's now got her own online business that she helps with techie stuff and stuff like that. Now, you know, widow's brain, widow's fog, if you've got your brain, you can't do that kind of work. She didn't think she'd ever get back to it. And that's what she does today.
Yeah.
Only because she reached out for help. She reached out and said, I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't just reach out for one person. She searched and searched and searched till she found the answer. And that's the clue.
And that is the key, because you resonate with that person. And I mean, I was very fortunate that, you know, I found the person that I resonated right away. And, you know, she was able to help me. And at the same time, I was taking a course, energy healing course, and they work together. But it was that searching, that trying to find, and it took a while. It took a while for me to find the person that I felt like would be the right fit. And I think that's important. You know, I knew after the first meeting that she was the one. I just knew that she was the one. And if she hadn't have been the fit, I guess I would have looked elsewhere.
But don't give up. And this is the key. You know, that's why I offer the free call, because it's, let's see if we're a match. Because it's not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. This might not be for you. But unless we hop on a call and we connect like you did, how are you going to know?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to know? You're not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And also remember that we're looking at our life through our grief lens. We've got our grief glasses on, which are not very clear. And we're listening to other people. Oh, just be careful. Don't do this. Don't do that. You're what? You're going to do what? Yeah.
Yeah.
We really need to. That's where the self-love comes in. Love yourself enough to trust your own judgment.
Yes, trusting your own judgment. Because there are a lot of messages that come to you from, well, the internet or your friends or just other people that mean well, but sometimes that advice is not for you. It just
that's wrong.
Doesn't fit. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always go back to, because remember, this was 2009 that I became a life coach, which was not what it is today. So 15 years ago, it was like, you what? You what? And I remember I never told anybody. It was quite a large investment for me back then, and I didn't have the money, and I was juggling credit cards. I was doing stuff because I knew I had to change. I had to grow. And I had to heal me. That was my biggest thing. I never told anybody. So I joined the program, and I gave over the credit card. And my son came over a week or so later. We were sitting chatting, and he said to me, so, because I was a bookkeeper in my previous life. And he said, Mum, how's your bookkeeping business going? And I said, it's not. I've enrolled to become a life coach. Oh, my goodness. You what? Oh, how do you know you haven't been scammed? And all of this went through. And I just sat there in my power, and I just said, well, this is what I need to do. Oh, well, I think you're crazy. Now, here's the thing. And why I say this is because when we talk to other people about what we want to do, so if I had gone to my son and said to him, hey, this is what I want to do, he would have said to me, no, don't do it. It's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be here today, because I would have said, oh, yeah, he's probably right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really listening to our inner voice. Our soul knows what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I really think that when we want that and we're asking for that, there's something intuitive inside of us that knows that that's what we need to do. And I always find that if I am on the right track, doors start to open, right? Things start to fall into place. And that's a surefire sign that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with the academy, I woke up one morning and I went, oh my God, I can't do this all on my own. I need to find light workers that are aligned, that want to heal people in grief, just one person at a time. And that's my passion now too, is to help you get to that stage so that you have the calling and you have the feeling. If you don't, that's okay, because now you get on and you do other stuff, but you've healed yourself. You haven't sat in that grief and gone, well, I'll be okay, I'll just read another book. There's so many grief books out there. You know, I've started and stopped over the 15 years of my book for I don't know how long, because information doesn't create transformation. And we can read, and unless we implement what's in the book, nothing's going to change. Oh, that's a great idea. I'll do that. And then the phone rings, or you go make a cup of tea or whatever you have to do for the day, and it's like, what was that thing that book said I should do?
Yeah, there's nothing like having support. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Accountability. And I looked forward to those meetings. I couldn't wait until the next one, because I just knew how much it was helping me. It was, yes. It felt good.
Isn't it amazing? But, and you don't actually know, and you don't feel it, but you know that something's changing.
Mm-hmm.
On an inner level, on a soul level, suddenly the sun is shining brighter. suddenly you're hearing the birds, or you're seeing the clouds, or you're seeing the sunset, things you never noticed before. And those are the subtle changes. And you realize, I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm becoming aware. And that focusing on that one moment in time when we lost our loved ones is the worst thing we can do, because that wasn't their life. That wasn't their life. And it's to focus on their life, not their death.
Yeah, so tell people, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, there's two ways. They can hop onto my website, which is flowgriefacademy.com, and check me out there. And if they want to book a call with me, they just flowgriefacademy.com/talk. So there's, but if you go on my website, the links are all on my website on how you can get hold of me. I've got a Facebook group as well called Grief Unlocked. Reimagine your new life after loss, where I give a lot of information and a lot of video lives, and we connect there. So it's a positive forward moving grief group. It's not your typical grief group where we all tell our sad stories.
Beautiful. Do you have any advice you want to share before we go?
Well, the only advice I would say is love yourself enough to heal you, not your kids, not the dogs, not the house, not the car, but you. Heal, love yourself. And we've never been taught to love ourselves. We've never been taught to put ourselves first. And that's why we don't heal. It's because we don't show our emotions to our children or our family around us, because we have this, I need to be strong. I need to be strong. Don't be strong. Start feeling your emotions. Fall down, cry. I remember a beautiful friend of mine said to me one day, he was an old school friend, and he said to me, just scream. Get in your car. And when you hit the road, because I lived out on acreage, he said, when you hit the open road, just scream. And that's part of the feeling. Just scream. Get rid of that energy.
Yeah, and it's surprising how much that helps, and how we've been told our whole lives that we shouldn't we shouldn't do that, right? Yeah.
Been told our whole life, Shh, be quiet. Don't, sit down. Stop. Don't move. Don't do. But it's our natural instinct. It's our guttural instinct. It's our soul's instinct to verbalize and to scream and to feel. But you're so right. We've been so conditioned throughout our lives to just stop. And why have we been done? Why has it been done? Because it makes others uncomfortable. They don't know what to do with us. Oh my God, what do I do? This screaming woman. Nothing, just let
Exactly. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing this, and I'm encouraging everybody to go check out your website and your resources, and if needed, have a call. That would be
Absolutely.
fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed our time, and it's so great to connect with a fellow widow as well, where we know the journey and we know what it takes to do the inner work and to move forward.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you for joining us in this episode of the Awaken Your Soul's Journey podcast. We hope that you have found solace, understanding, and inspiration as we explored the information and wisdom that will help you move forward on your own journey. I want to express my deepest gratitude to my special guests, experts, and you, the listener. Thank you for sharing your stories and wisdom. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please reach out. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. The Awaken Your Soul's Journey community is here to support you. Sign up for my newsletter at www.healingenergy.world or check out the links in the description below. Until we meet again, may you find peace, healing, and transformation on your own unique path. Sending you lots of love. Bye for now.